Hello, everybody. Welcome to Rumors versus Facts, the UGA Sports Recruiting Show, where we try to wade through all the false information out there and give you actual news you can use at UGASports.com. If you really want the best information, you have to go to the vault on UGASports.com. That is where we have our resident experts who are telling you the latest breaking news, what we're seeing, what we're hearing. A lot of people that go to UGASports.com for the first time, they're like, well, where's all the recruiting information? It's not on the main page. We have an entire message board dedicated to recruiting because there's just so much information there. So check it out when you go to UGA Sports. Look for, there's the Dog Vent, the granddaddy of all Georgia message boards, and then there's the Vault, which is where you get your recruiting information. We don't talk about cigars and the Braves and all that other stuff on the Vault. It's just recruiting. So you'll definitely like it if you want the latest, greatest information. Speaking of on the Vault, with me, I have Jed May and Trent Smallwood. You guys posted earlier tonight that a major Georgia quarterback target will be announcing his decision this Wednesday, 3 o'clock. Tell me what's going on, guys.
Yeah. Ohio quarterback Ryan Montgomery is announcing on, like you said, Roddy, Wednesday at 3 o'clock. And it's interesting because the latest timeline we had was he was going to announce in early May, which was a change from the timeline before that, where he was going to take official visits and announce after that. So it was early May. And then Ryan tweeted earlier today, you know, I've got an edit coming soon. And it's like, yeah, okay, well, that's in a couple of weeks. That's pretty soon. And then right after that, it comes out that he's committing on Wednesday. So Trent, I know you have too. We've been asking around all afternoon. And the thing with Ryan Montgomery is it seemed like if Georgia wants him, they've got him. And it seemed that way for a while. And based on the conversations I've had today and that you've had, Trent, it sounds like Georgia has given Ryan Montgomery the green light to commit if he wants to. So, you know, Trent, you put in a future cast. I put on the board that I think he will choose Georgia on Wednesday. And yeah, it's a quarterback, right? It's a big get. It's a guy who, you know, it's funny because, and I know I'm rambling a little bit here, but Georgia went after Matt Zollers. They went after Julian Lewis. And someone on the board made a comment to the effect of, well, you know, we can just bring in a lower rated player and, you know, have a warm body. It's like, guys, he's the number 160 overall player in the country and number 13 quarterback. Like, Ryan Montgomery is a very, 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 very good player. Let's pump the brakes on the lower rated. So, good player, a guy that Georgia's had a relationship with for a long time, has visited Athens a bunch, unofficially, obviously, which, again, unofficially from Ohio means a lot. And, at 48 hours-ish out from his commitment, I like where Georgia's at.
You know, looking back to I guess last summer when I saw him at IMG and I was talking to his dad down at IMG Academy and talking to him, there's been a lot of schools in and out of that top five, top 10. I mean, going back as far as having Penn State in there, Michigan in there, being up from up north, you know, to having a bunch of SEC schools. And there's been one, kind of team right there ever since the beginning, and that's been Georgia. And you know, he had the relationship with Todd Monken, kind of transferred over to Mike Bobo, and I think his main kind of contact was Mike Bobo anyways from when he was an analyst there. And so I think, you know, they've just been waiting on Georgia to want them as much as I guess they wanted Georgia. The relationship's always been there. It's been spotty at times because of the Juju and the Zollers. And I don't think this means by any means that the Georgia's going to give up on Juju. I think Georgia is not convinced that Juju would flip. Then they also don't want to be left like they were a couple of years ago and without a quarterback in the class. And you're landing a quality guy here. I thought he was very good at IMG last year. He completed I can't even remember the number, but he only had one incompletion throughout the whole thing. And it was two different games. He had one incompletion in 7-on-7. Jeez. So he's very accurate with the football. Extremely accurate. He was, he does, of course, he doesn't have the Zollers or Juju scrambling ability. He can get out of the pocket, but I do think he's very accurate with the football. And in this day and age, and in recruiting, you got to have somebody that wants you and this, you know, feel like he can come in and play winning football. And you got that with Puglisi. And I think this is another guy that is in that same boat.
And Trent, you mentioned his scrambling ability or lack thereof. He is an athlete. He plays basketball up there for Finley. And I said on the board today, he's probably more of the Carson Beck type athlete, a quarterback, as opposed to, you know, like a Stetson or even like a Gunnar Stockton type guy. Like he can move, he can make plays, he can extend them. You know, he's not what we saw with Stetson running the ball for a couple of years, but he is a guy who has the, you know, if you want to term it, the bare minimum mobility at quarterback that you've got to have in modern college football. So
I just need the threat. You don't need to be the guy. Just need the threat.
If you keep on a read option or, you know, whatever, once a game for 10 yards, that's more than enough.
And it's I think his quality of speed is more, you know, north south instead of having the wiggle of, you know, like Stetson Bennett, like you said, or Gunner has got a little wiggle, but I think his is more, he can run, but he better get north south. And, I think just having the threat to run is big. I think Puglisi brings at least a threat to run. I don't think, you know, everybody's going to look at this like it, oh, this is their third option. They're down to their third option. I don't necessarily, I mean, yes, hey, of course.
People are stupid, man. Come on.
Zollers and Juju are extremely good quarterbacks, but at the same time, you're not going and getting a preferred walk on that you're trying to bring in. This is guys legit. I mean, like he's got a legit passing ability to come in and play for Georgia somewhere down the road. So it would definitely be a good get. I mean, if you're looking at it from a Juju standpoint, yeah, it might be a little bit lower rated, but this is a good quarterback.
Hey, I'll look at it this way. To your point, what's the number one news right now? Who's in the portal? You can fight like hell, get a guy who finally, to your point, you know, wants you as much as you want him. You know, so Georgia can go hard after a Juju. Georgia can go hard after Matt Zollers. And if it's really a tight fit, you know, or a tight race, and you're like, we finally got him, but we don't feel good about it. Or at least, you know, you're trying to stroke their ego for an entire year just to keep them in the program. But you get a kid like this who wants to be a Georgia Bulldog. And how many people would say, oh, well, he's a third choice, which is to be a fallacy. We'll also say, I want a kid who wants to be here. You know, you got that in Ryan Puglisi. You didn't have all the Dylan Raiola drama with Puglisi. You know, mm-hmm. Here. By the way, he's got his when I spoke to Jared Curtis recently, he told me that Puglisi had an issue with his kneecap. So folks were asking, Kirby Smart said it was a stress fracture. We were told recently there was a kneecap issue. So really hate that we didn't get to see him in spring. But to your point, getting one of the best players in the nation in a bird in the hand versus the potential, you know, put all your eggs in one basket and not get the number one guy. Georgia's been jilted before. Like you said, Trent, you know, left without a QB. They don't want to go through that again. So why not take a quarterback who fits your system, loves your scheme, can run your offense and win you football games. Mm-hmm. I'm all for it. If he picks Georgia, that'd be great. But you mentioned the Juju Lewis sweepstakes. I think that's a situation. You guys tell me if I'm wrong. Even if you had taken Matt Zollers, and Zollers said, you know, well, if they take my commitment, I'm the only one they're taking. I love the kid. You know, good luck, Matt, at Mizzou. But if you believed that they were going to go balls to the wall to get Juju Lewis, I got some oceanfront property to sell you up in Nebraska because,
well, and it's
you can't let a Juju leave. You can't let a Deshaun Watson, you know, leave town. You can't not go after, you know, a guy of that caliber.
I mean, it's the same as Puglisi and Raiola. There are a certain couple guys with Puglisi that was like, hey, we would recruit this guy. Raiola was one of those guys. We all know how it turned out, but Georgia really wanted Matt Zollers. They really want Ryan Montgomery, but Juju Lewis, they really want him too. So yeah, they are They are going to keep recruiting Juju. We believe if they get Ryan Montgomery, we believe they would have kept recruiting if they gotten Matt Zollers. So I still, as I say on this show every week, I haven't gotten to the point where I believe Juju Lewis will end up at Georgia. I don't necessarily know how much the Ryan Montgomery commitment would affect him or his mindset necessarily, just because, I mean, you, if you're Juju Lewis, you're thinking, okay, I can go in and beat out whoever's there. So I don't think it would affect him, his choice necessarily. I still, though, just don't believe that choice will end up being Georgia.
I'm with you there. And until we see more movement, and again, I think right now Georgia is the only team I'm hearing about he might wind up at. But yeah, until I see more movement from the Juju Lewis camp and I see a better, I don't say meeting of his demands, but a better situation to land a kid of that caliber, I'm kind of with you. I'm like, Georgia will be in it till the end and be like, oh man, this is a home school team. I got a great relationship with them, but I'm still going to USC.
Yeah, and I talked about this before. You get a kid like Juju who's supposed to be a generational talent. There is desperation when it comes to NIL, and that desperation falls for teams that have been lacking. And you look at a team like Auburn. You look at the USC, who want to get back on top, but might need to spend a little bit extra money to get back on top of certain prospects. And so just from that standpoint alone, Georgia's not in desperation mode. Georgia doesn't have to be in desperation mode. They got a 2026 quarterback locked up. They have Puglisi on campus. They got Stockton waiting in the wings. Then if Ryan Montgomery jumped on board, they'd have Ryan Montgomery. So you're looking at four guys over that 4 years that you have in already locked in, and they don't have to be in desperation mode like some other schools might be when it comes to NIL.
Yeah, and as much as I know Georgia wants him, I can't see you doing some outlandish NIL deal that hurts you across the board because they're behind. So let's say you go all in on the one guy, even if he is a generational player. You guys watched G-Day. You saw what that offense is capable of. Carson Beck is the central spoke of that thing. But when you got guys making catches like Ra-Ra, you know, and like Dominic Lovett and like Colby Young and Dylan Bell, you know, Arian Smith, you got to win. You can't win without a great quarterback, but you don't have to be an elite quarterback if you're surrounded by a nasty defense and a ridiculously talented offensive line, great backs and all that. It takes less pressure, puts less pressure on your quarterback. And to your point, if you're Ohio State, you've lost to Michigan three times in a row, you're going sideways and you got people ponying up tons of money because they want to change the outcome.
Well,
and you talked about Missouri. Missouri's in it because Missouri was never going to win a championship.
I mean, if we're going to talk about this more and more like the NFL, okay, what's the path to winning in the NFL? You get a really good quarterback on a rookie contract. You don't have to pay him a lot of money, and then you can get him receivers, get him linemen, get defense, and then when that second that contract comes around, you're paying him, you know, Falcons, Kirk Cousins money, you're paying him $60 million a year, then all of a sudden you don't have the money to spend other places. It's the same
kind of thing. That's a great way to put it.
To spend what it would take to get a Juju Lewis, and do you lose on a, you know, do you lose on a receiver you might have gotten, a defensive lineman you might have gotten?
But then you got to worry about, on top of that, is it losing him after the first year.
Yeah,
because he doesn't come in. He doesn't come in and play. You try to get him playing time, but then they get complaining about burning a red shirt. I mean, there's just so many factors that go into that.
I like Chris Callahan's comment here. Elijah Griffin and Justin Terry are more important than Juju. Put the NIL
money. I would 100% say that. Yes.
And here's the other thing: you guys talk about the first year. To me, you had a great analogy about how the NFL does it with a rookie contract with a quarterback. I've been thinking about this under the idea of the depreciation of a new car. These teams go crazy on NIL in the first year. The kid gets there, and he's not exactly what you thought he was going to be. He's not that generational guy, or he's not a starter. He's not head and shoulders. He's getting paid head and shoulders above everybody else on the team, but he's not performing head and shoulders above everybody else. And all of a sudden, he's a little dissatisfied. I mean, we know that Georgia's got a couple kids in the portal today. How many kids do you think have been reaching out to Georgia? Hey, if I left Pitt, you got a spot for me? How many kids do you think want to come to Georgia versus want to get out? So I'm all about, you know, I won't buy a new car. I'll go to Athens Ford and buy one of their pre-owned cars, you know, that's certified, and save myself that 30% depreciation hit. I'm like, again, it's a new era. So, but hey, let's switch gears here, because we talked about Ryan and his decisions coming up on the Wednesday at 3 o'clock. Trent's put in a future cast for him. That'll be interesting to see. But I want to mention a guy who actually did commit, and I guess we found out about kind of, I won't say out of the blue, but this is not one that was on our immediate radar. We were ahead of the story. We told folks, you know, to watch for it. But they got a defensive lineman commit. I'm not even going to try to say his last name. I'm just calling him Darren.
Yeah, committed about an hour after G-Day. Ended up actually just got off the phone with Darren before we got on the show. And he said, yeah, I kind of had a feeling coming in to the visit I was going to commit. He told Shadare Uzodiribe on Friday that he was going to commit, but they surprised Kirby with it on Saturday. So they had a meeting before the game, and they're talking, and Darren's like, yeah, I think I'm going to go ahead and commit. And Kirby was like, are you serious? Like, is this for real? So he's a three-star in my official rankings. Obviously I'm going to have to bump him up now that he's committed, but he is a guy that the staff has been, I mean, he told me he has been a priority target since about December. And it's just been, you know, real heavy on him since then. So he visited, I don't remember if it was for a spring premise. I have it on my list here. Let's see. He visited February 3rd, that big weekend in February. So not for a practice necessarily, but two unofficial visits in the span of basically 2 months from New Jersey. Shows you kind of, like we were just talking about with Ryan Montgomery, shows you how significant the interest is. So he's a big guy. He's 6'6", 251, 253. So play mostly standing up is what he said. And a thing that Shadare Uzodiribe really likes about him, he can get low and he can stop the run. And how many times?
He's just throwing these kids around.
How many times did we hear last year, Georgia can't set the edge, Georgia can't set the edge? This is a guy who can set the edge, defend the run, and obviously go get the quarterback as well.
These clips are nasty. Again, I get it. It's New Jersey. I don't want to crap on New Jersey football. I don't know how good it is, but he does look like a 32-year-old man out there playing against middle schoolers.
Hey, he was in our initial class prediction too.
Look at that, Trent. Trent pulling one out of the hat there. So that's pretty good. Trent, your thoughts on this kid?
I mean, I think he's got a lot of upside, and I think he can come in and play, depending on what kind of weight he puts on, can play all, several different positions. I think five tech is not out of the question. I think, you look at his length. You look at like a guy like Michael Williams. He can play him standing up. You can play him. You can play him with his hand in the dirt, kind of like to do with Michael. But I don't know how much his frame can hold. I've never seen him in person, but he looks like he plays a lot of interior there too. So, Georgia likes to shift Mike Allen in sometimes in the nickel. So you just never know. But this is a good, this very versatile. He's standing up right there, very versatile, and can do a lot of things for that defense. And
yeah, right there, he was at a zero technique when they're on the six,
and he was. A major target for Georgia. I know. Uribe wanted him. Trey Scott wanted him. And then Kirby wanted him, of course. So he was a major target, even though it has three stars next to his name. He was right at the top of their board.
Yeah, looking through the comments from Adam Friedman talking about what Georgia's getting. Says he has the physical tools, but he's got a basketball background. And that, again, kids, if you are – if you want to be recruited, play more than one sport. I can't tell you how often I hear that from coaches, how they like an offensive lineman who plays basketball. They love skill guys who run track.
Wrestlers.
Yeah, I've got offensive linemen, defensive linemen who wrestle. I mean, you got to get out there. Stephon Shivers, I actually spoke to him yesterday, and speaking to one of his coaches, Coach Pettigrew, who is at his, who's not at a school now, is at a different school, said, look, I want you to put some of your basketball highlights on there. And the kid's like, why? Why the hell would I do that? He's like, just trust me. And sure enough, one of the clips of him is, you know, at 370 pounds, running up and down the court, playing, you know, being a center and running out there with guys who are 135 pounds. And coaches look at that and go, this kid's got some bad weight on him. He can run. So I'm watching this Darren here, you know, with that basketball background. That's 6'5", 240 or 6'6", 250, where, you know, whatever you're looking at. I'm impressed. So that's a good pickup for Georgia. Pretty nice. So back-to-back weeks with a commitment. You got Mason Short. Now you got Darren. And maybe this week, Ryan Montgomery. Class seems to be coming together. So who else was at the G-Day this weekend?
We look at 20.
You've got a ton of updates, but I just want to kind of, let's go through some of the big names and what we know about them.
You know, if you look at the 25 class, you know, Justice Terry, who we mentioned, was there, committed to USC, but has been in, or was in town most of the weekend. Elias Williams, tight end commit, was there. Travis Smith Jr., a priority receiver target, was there, and he said after the game, he watched, I had an update on him yesterday, hung out with Coley for about 3 hours and watched a bunch of film breaking down the most minute details about route running that you could think of. And he's like, yeah, man, I didn't know how much I didn't know until I hung out with Coley for a little while. So big visit for Travis Smith, who, you know, Georgia's in good shape with. He is taking an official visit the first weekend in June. Ethan Barber was there. Darren Nickanagman, who we just mentioned, was obviously there. Dijon Lee, a defensive back from California, who Georgia is kind of in good shape for. Again, theme of the night, Darren Nickanagman visited twice this spring. Dijon Lee has also visited twice, coming all the way from California. So
really?
Georgia's in good shape with him.
Again, any kids coming from California, kids coming here for Mater D, you get a kid flying from Arizona. I mean, Ryan Montgomery coming down every 15 days from Ohio.
Anyone who wonders, you know, why that might be, these unofficial visits, these kids you got to pay for. You got to set up your own flight. You got to get out here. You got to get back. You know, it's an undertaking to go on these trips, especially at this point in the calendar where there's school still going on. So big visit for Dijon Lee. Georgia is one of the probably, I would say, top two for him, maybe top three. Kevin Wynn, defensive lineman, was here from Greene County. Lance, we'll be talking to him. And then a ton of 2026 talent was there. You know, Jared Curtis was there. Nasir McCoy from Buford. PJ Dean, who is Jared Wilson's younger brother. And I know, Roddy, I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but I saw him at the Rivals camp in Charlotte yesterday. That kid is a stud. He dominated people all day long in route twin and offensive line MVP. So Pierre/PJ Dean is a guy to – keep on the radar moving forward. One more 25 guy, Dontrell Glover, offensive lineman, formerly committed to Alabama. He visited not long, like a week ago, maybe, or a week or two ago, back for G-Day, and Georgia is really starting to surge in his recruitment. He's an interior offensive line guy out of, I believe, Langston Hughes High School in Georgia. So it's kind of, it's looking like Georgia and Tennessee right now in his recruitment, and Georgia is definitely, you know, got some momentum in Dontrell Glover's recruitment for sure, as it looks to kind of add another interior guy there in 25.
Georgia's recruitment of Dijon's kind of soared ever since they got Coach Dante from USC. That kind of flipped the switch on that, because was he a USC commit at one time, or he was leaning USC?
Yeah, I don't think he was committed.
It's a really changed things because, I mean, Georgia sits in a great position because of, number one, his relationships with the staff, relationships with Coach Dante, and then you know, getting him on campus and letting him visit and having that familiarity with Athens now. So it's a lot of things working good for him in that. Also,
6'3" cornerback.
I spoke with some you know, sources on Justice Terry, and I'll have something up on the board, and I'm not going to spill it all right now. But
I was just about to ask you, like, to me, when you go through that list, first thought was like, okay, what about Justice Terry?
And one thing I found interesting was there was no pressure to recommit. There was Georgia staff did not even discuss the commitment, did not even discuss him recommitting, from what I was told. They discussed that they told him that they would not go away. They would be there right there for him, and they're going to show him why he fell in love with Georgia from his first pick, you know, back when he went. They're going to show him why they fell in love with him, and they were going to be on him, and didn't matter where he was committed to at this time. They were going to continue to recruit him no matter if he was committed to Georgia or committed to USC, the exact same. So I thought that was interesting, just knowing they're not going anywhere and they're playing this game, whether he's committed to Georgia or whether committed to USC, the exact same.
Where did we hear that exact same story in this last recruiting class?
Sounds like KJ Bolden to me.
That is exactly KJ Bolden. Remember, he actually said after he flipped to Georgia on signing day, he said, the day I committed, I got a paragraph text from Kirby Smart. Mm-hmm. And congratulations, best of luck. We're still going to recruit you the same. And Trent, you were on this show week after week after week after week saying, I still expect KJ Bolden to be in this class. And I'm like, man, you love sawing on the branch you're sitting on, man, because you go out there to the very end and you start cutting behind you. I'm just like, dude, give yourself an escape clause, put on a parachute, give yourself a. I went all in on Caleb Downs because I knew everything was going on there. And that's the one time I never gave myself an escape clause, and it blew up in my face. And I'm like, it's KJ Bolden thing, brother. You're just diehard. Now I was hearing about some of the stuff going on behind the scenes. I'm like, I don't know. But you were diehard about it, and you said it, and do you see this playing out the same way? Georgia's philosophy of saying, look, we're not going to talk about them. We're not going to, you know, put down USC. They didn't put down FSU. They didn't say, let's look at Florida State's, you know, results in the NFL. They don't, because it's real easy when the kid commits somewhere else. Now you know who to attack.
Yep.
But kids tell us that they're not attacking them. They're just going to recruit them to their standard. So do you think this plays out the same way?
I do. And I do for a couple different reasons. I think Georgia's playing the long game for a reason. I don't think they're wanting a commitment right now. Just similar to KJ Bowen. They don't want him to flip back, because that's just – well, what's the point of it right now? We're going to play the long game. We're going to get into the season. We're going to kick everybody's ass. And look what USC is going to do. That's going to play an impact. We're going to get you on campus 3 or 4 times like we got KJ. Things are going to start to shift our way. With the relationship there, with the sheer Georgia can be in his school a lot easier than USC can be there. And I just think that's where Georgia's going to shift and just start chipping away, let his family know where he belongs, let him know where he belongs, and then come signing day, I think that's where you'll see movement. Are we signing day? Or right around that period.
Same philosophy for Juju Lewis.
I'm not as confident there. I'm not going on that trip.
I did ask you, would the result be the same with Justice Terry? I'm just saying, is the approach the same with Juju Lewis?
Oh, I think so. I think it's the same with Gibson as well. I mean, I think Georgia's going to continue to recruit Gibson exactly the same. I think a commitment is – for some kids, Georgia loves it at this point. And for other kids, they're playing the long game. You know, I feel like some kids, they get in the – and they're like the Charlie Warners of the world and all that stuff. They're like, we get them – we ain't got to worry about them. We're going to still, you know, communicate with them, but they're locked in. They're one of our 26 in this class. And then they're going to – but these other guys, they know they got to play the long game. Whoever they're committed to, it doesn't matter. It's playing the long game and trying to get them convinced by December.
Gotcha. All right. So that's who visited. Those are the updates on it now. If you're not a subscriber at UGASports.com, you need to go over there and sign up. It's 27 cents a day. You would get the entire Travis Smith story. You would get all the notes on Ryan Montgomery on the vault. You'll get Justice Terry notes on the vault, you know, these 5-star players. There's a lot of updates. I can give a shout out to Jed May and Lance. Lance is with us. So Lance has been all over the place. Lance is with us now. Lance has had a ton of updates. Three guys got offered. He's got stories with each of the three guys that have been offered recently. because there's offers going out constantly. He's had a lot of good updates. Trent's got the insider information over there that you need to check out. Hell, I even put a video up over there today. So there's a lot going on at the Vault and at UGSports.com. Be sure to check it out. After G-Day and after you guys were, as you were working on these updates, Jed got in the car after G-Day and drove all the way to Charlotte and covered the Rivals camp there. So Jed, tell us about, you know, some of the guys you saw and what they said about Georgia.
It's a beautiful drive in the dark, 85 between Jefferson and Charlotte. Well, kind of like G-Day was a little bit, there is a lot of younger talent to watch in Charlotte, especially on like in the trenches. And you look, like I mentioned, Pierre Dean again, Jared Wilson's younger brother. He weighed in, I think, at 270 pounds. So you look at him and you're like, okay, this is a well put together kid. He's got time to grow, but he dominated all day. I mean, literally not just keeping people away from the quarterback, but throwing them in the dirt at 270 pounds. He's going to be awesome. He already is awesome, but he's a top target for Georgia. Desmond Green on the other side is 6 foot five and 345 pounds, just a giant human. He told me, he's like, yeah, Stacy, he visited for G-Day and was like, yeah, Stacy Searles was telling me I am a top target. They want him as an interior guy, like a guard, I guess. So he is that, you know, Solomon Kinley road grader type, for sure. You know, Savion Hyder, number one running back for 26, was there. Jaira Edwards, which is a new name to me, is the number, I think, four safety for 26 from around Baltimore, D.C. Loves Georgia. Very high on Georgia. Very high on Tavares Robinson. Will be taking his first visit to Georgia in the next couple weeks. And then the last one, Thomas Davis Jr. was there, the son of
– name sounds familiar.
Yeah, safety. But he was a safety in Athens, right, Roddy, mostly? Safety, linebacker, whatever. He looked great. Georgia hasn't offered, and it doesn't seem like there's a ton of communication there. But he was very clear that if Georgia does offer, then that is they're going to be a serious factor in his recruitment from the jump. So a lot of younger talent, especially in the trenches. And, you know, Thomas Davis looked good. Savion Hyder looks great. And, you know, we'll be back at it Sunday for the one in Atlanta over at Lakewood.
Oh, speaking of younger brothers who stood out, you had an update recently on Okboga?
Okboga.
Yeah. Lance, give me the update there.
Well, I think Jed and I both talked to – it's a keen, right, Jed?
Keene? Yeah, I'm not –
along those lines.
A lot of tough names on the show tonight.
This is a rough show for me.
I was watching.
I almost screwed up Hyder really bad, too.
So. I was watching it. Roddy said Mater Day, and Trent said Puglisi weird once, and I'm just sitting there laughing.
Dude, I can never say it correctly.
The younger brother.
Lance, okay, fill me in. Give me some.
Puglisi, I'm pretty sure.
Puglisi? I don't know.
Is it an IA at the end?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch. I was just sitting there laughing.
Yeah, you just got in from running, covering up your other job. So
I was giving you a hard time. Well, I talked to Jed and I both traded messages with the younger brother, Ogboko, and he basically told me straight up that Georgia's at the top of his list right now. He loves the atmosphere around the stadium. Of course, he's been to a few games with his brother. He's seen, you know, kind of, you know, how, you know, Georgia handles those offensive linemen. And he really, really likes Stacy Searles. I think that, you know, that pre-existing relationship with, you know, Georgia knowing his brother and then, you know, him being up, you know, as many times as well, really, really helps. And, you know, they've, you know, Georgia's got a, Nigerian pipeline kind of coming through. So I know last week they offered 2026 edge guy Zion Elie too, who when I was talking to him, told that he was from the same tribe as Coach Uzo Deribe, which I thought was pretty cool. So they're doing a good job with these kids and especially this one right here. I know he's 2026, but I like Georgia's chances as of right now.
Oh, Roddy got confused and muted himself, folks.
So the 6'6", 290-pound offensive tackle from North Carolina. I'll take it. Especially who could work against his brother.
Yeah. And he said
– what the family reunion's like, or fighting over a damn turkey leg?
He said that him and his brother push each other be better. So, yeah, I wonder what
– Yeah, I said that to my four brothers. We were pushing to get better. Literally, we were fighting over
beating the hell out of
potatoes, but you know. So that was another update. My point being, we can't even talk about all the updates we had, and we probably shouldn't do that anyway, because folks pay for that behind the wall stuff. We shouldn't give it all away on the show here. Anybody else we need to talk about from Charlotte? Because if not, I'm gonna move on to Nashville.
Yeah, I was gonna say not from Charlotte, but definitely you hadn't stopped talking about Jared Curtis since you got back. So
let me have this.
Let Roddy cook. Everybody just back off and, just let him roll for a while.
Well, hey, before we do that, I need to
don't pronounce his name wrong. We got the police in here.
I do want to mention our friends at the Rogue Shop real quick, because that is very important. The UGA Sports Rumors versus Facts show is sponsored by the Rogue Shop. Now, the Rogue Shop, they make some fantastic Delta 8, Delta 9 gummies. They make tinctures. They make cannabinoid creams that will help you, especially if you have like swelling. I use it on the left knee that I need to get the meniscus replaced on. But and that's neither here nor there. I never have time to do that. But their pain cream does a great job. If you have chronic pain, their gummies can help you out there. If you have trouble sleeping, they can help you out as well. So reach out to our friends at the Rogue Shop. Use promo code BULLDOGS10, BULLDOGS10. And you can try their Delta 9 chocolate ones, their Delta 8, the Nerd Bites, their Delta 8. They have the flavored ones there. They can help you if you have chronic pain, or if you have insomnia, or if you just want a really good gummy. Check them out when you get the chance. Do want to mention what I did go see. Let me take that out real quick. I went to see Jared Curtis, and he is the class of 2026 quarterback commit for Georgia. I hadn't seen him before in person. So I want to play this real quick. Let me put it in the screen here. This was this kid's special, and now you got to understand they had a great turnout in Nashville for the Under Armour camp. They don't normally have a Under Armour camp in Nashville, but they got a lot of guys come in from Kentucky, Illinois, Ohio, of course, state of Tennessee was loaded. And there was a great offensive line group and a great quarterback group. And you had the kid from Brentwood Academy who's committed to Tennessee, who's so really, really good. But I'm actually talking to Stephon Shivers, Georgia's defensive line coach. I mean, commit. Got to see him in action. First time got to see him in person. Big boy, 367 pounds, 6'5", can move. But I was actually talking to his dad and his coach, and I heard Ryan Montgomery's first throw. Ball just spinning, and it hits the hands with a flock, the guy that's catching it, and a bunch of heads kind of turn around. And again, you got a ton of good quarterbacks there. You got some of the best quarterbacks in the nation, and this kid is head and shoulders above them, just in arm strength. I don't know about anything else. Don't know about accuracy. Don't know about mechanics. Don't know about, we can have the quarterback coaches go through his whole litany of where he's standing, how high he holds the ball up, what it does. But the kid has a jugs machine for an arm, and it just comes out of there with such velocity. The last person I ever heard throw a ball like that, where you could hear the ball cutting through the air, where you could hear it, the arrival velocity, was Matt Stafford. And I'm not going to say he is Matt Stafford, but he's got a freaking arm like Matt. So he was fun to watch. Good interview. Loves Georgia. Raved about, you know, because, you know, was it a couple weeks ago, we're talking about how he committed a year earlier than expected to. Mm-hmm. And he was just talking about Coach Bobo, Coach Gummy, Montgomery, and Van Gorder, and Kirby Smart. He just loves them.
Is that a little drop-down sidearm there?
Yeah. Okay, well, that's funny. So that little sidearm grip thing that he did, that was actually one of the funnier moments of the whole show. Yeah, and that's him. He's got a little sidearm release. So he was actually backing over a dummy at one point and kind of slipped on the dummy. And the quarterback, you see the other quarterbacks are catching it. So even when he catches or when he kind of stumbles and threw it sidearm, the guy that caught it goes, he was off balance and it's still an effing missile. You know? And again, you're there with guys who are just like you. You don't throw out compliments. You don't kiss up to a guy. But that other quarterback told him, says, man, you were off balance and he still threw an effing missile. So even the other quarterbacks there gave him his proper credit for being just an absolute badass. So Jared Kurtz was fun to watch. Stephon Shivers, not Stephen Shivers. Not that I said that. I asked him specifically, how do you say it? He said Stephon, like Stephon Marbury, and it shivers like being cold. So that's one name we can get down. He was fun to watch. His dad is right there with him at, you know, making sure he's eating right, working out all the time. And he's got some really good defensive line coaches. And his previous defensive line coach said, Stephon, if you ever get an offer from Georgia, go play for Trey Scott. It's Coach Pettigrew. So Shivers got that Georgia offer, and shortly thereafter, he's playing for Georgia, mainly because all the Coach Pettigrew uses Trey Scott's language and scheme and everything. So it's going to be a very easy transition when Stephon arrives at Georgia. Same with Jared Kurtz. He's a very bright guy. Knows Kirby, knows the language and the system that Mike Bobo likes to run. So two young kids, a 2025 and a 2026 kid who are committed to Georgia, got to watch both of them. And I left that Nashville camp impressed. So, and there are a few other kids that we'll have updates on, but if you get a chance, watch the video of Jared Kurtz. And again, there's a couple passes where it hits guys in the hands and goes through. That ball's coming in hot, you know. He's got a cannon for an arm. Who are we going to see this weekend, Joe?
I don't know. Supposedly, Julian Lewis will be there. He's registered, signed up, whatever. We'll see. You wonder if a guy like – I haven't seen a roster. But, you know, you look at guys like Travis Smith, some of these South Georgia guys that we haven't gotten to see as much, like – you know, a Laganza Hayward, maybe. Trying to think who else. Deontay Fulton, Jordan Allen from Buford. Yeah, I mean, there should be. And again, there will be guys, like you mentioned, right? There will be some Alabama guys. There, Anthony Rogers from Alabama, who you saw at Under Armour, Roddy, is going to be there. Georgia, we're going to flip him from Alabama.
Here's a quick note on that. I asked him, is it a possibility? He said, yeah, it's a possibility.
Yeah, so – no, Atlanta. I mean, it should be a good camp. I mean, obviously we will know these guys just because they're in the state we're in, but it should be a good one. A lot of Georgia targets, potential targets, younger targets, all that kind of stuff for sure. Maybe get to see some 2027 guys that you know pop up on the radar for the first time.
I thought Roderick looked pretty good at 245.
Let me find there. All right. Let's start with their. God damn it. I keep losing my shared screen there. Give me 1 second to add it back. So, what we're talking about, folks, is the Rivals camp will be in Atlanta this weekend. And I feel bad for everybody else in our industry because it kind of sucks for them, but. It is only open to Rivals reporters. So if we have Anthony Rogers there and Juju Lewis and Jordan Allen and all those guys, it'll be exclusive updates. Of course, there's nobody at the Rivals camp yesterday in Charlotte, so those are exclusive updates. And
it's good opportunities for Jed to adjust his rankings too.
Yeah,
yeah. And, yeah, well,
I was the only one from our on the beat.
I literally judge them all on their worst play. So if you have a drop, like, you're screwed. It's over. Like, you might as well just go home.
Drop a star.
Yeah, there's high stakes for sure. But yeah, it's in all seriousness, it is fun because you get, especially, you know, some of the guys from South Georgia, Alabama guys, Tennessee guys come down. You actually get to see some kids that in a lot of cases you haven't seen before, maybe, or guys who have put on a bunch of weight since the end of the season, whatever the case might be. You know, it's a good chance to see guys and go against the best. Cause like you mentioned, with, you know, you were talking about, Darren earlier, you're like, well, you know, I don't know how good the competition is. You go to the Rivals camp, you're going against really good players, from around whatever league you're in. So it's a good chance to see some of these guys against some other really good players for sure.
We had a Rivals camp that had Trevor Lawrence throwing against Matt Corral and Justin Fields, all in the rain.
Yeah, who was the younger Harrison Bailey?
Harrison Bailey was there too. Yeah, so hopefully this year's camp will be just as star studded. We'll check it out. All right, the first question is from GoDogs 212 and says, can you get an update on Elijah Griffin?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a ton to be updated. You know, he's Georgia's right there, probably, I would say, the favorite right now. Clemson's making it tough. South Carolina's making it tough. You know, Florida's in there, Florida State. But he has been a top target for a long time. He's a top want for the staff. And it's the last time I talked to him, because so many guys are, I want to get it done before the season. I want to commit before the season. Elijah Griffin's current plan is to take it all the way to signing day. So it's gonna be a while, at least the plan right now. He's got, I don't know if he has an official visit scheduled or not. It will take an official visit this summer, I'm sure. But it's gonna go into the fall probably, and you see how it goes. But yeah, I would pick Georgia right now for Elijah Griffin, but there's several schools that are trying to make it tough for sure. But as I mentioned in the last update I had with him, mom is very, very important. And mom loves Georgia, loves Trey Scott. I think he actually even told me, like, straight up, his mom wants him to go to Georgia's got that working for him. And we'll see to win out.
You're muted.
Sorry, there's people behind me talking, so I had to mute it for a little bit. We broke the news that Jamarion Morrow out of Germantown, Tennessee, it will be taking an official visit on June 13th. Mm-hmm. And he is being recruited by none other than Jared Curtis. Jared said, I asked him who he's trying to get. He's like, I'm trying to bring in Jared Curtis. So that is a interesting name to add to your list there. So. Mm-hmm. I wonder, it kind of seems like that's shaping up to be a big visit weekend.
Yeah, really all these, like, I've got a thing here with all the visits, and like every, it doesn't seem like there's necessarily one weekend that's bigger than the others. Yes, I mean, the first weekend in June's got a lot, but I mean, the second weekend, David Sanders, DJ Pickett, Marion Dye, Jared Smith, Christian Garrett. Third weekend, you've got Bryce Davis, CJ Wiley, Javon Boggs, the receiver, Jamarion Morrow, who you just mentioned. In that last weekend, you've got guys like, you know, Ryan Montgomery is currently scheduled to take his official visit then. Zion Grady, Josh Moore, receiver. Like, every weekend has got a ton of big names coming in a town. And that's, what, 2 months or so out from when these visits are actually happening. So it seems like every weekend in June is going to be a big one, which that's just, what we've come to expect nowadays, I guess, with these official visits being taken earlier and kids committing earlier.
What, the way Georgia's office is transitioned, they've kind of bring in one of those, like, Dwight Phillips similar type players, you know, year in and year out, just because they want the running back to be able to involved in that short passing game. And he looks like a guy that could fit that mold of Dwight Phillips, or you know, you've seen Georgia. I thought ETN looked good in that role, catching the ball in the backfield and doing things. So Georgia likes to have playmakers. They like to, you know, have the little short passing game as a extension of the running game. So he's definitely one to watch in that category. You're muted.
No, I was gonna see how long we're gonna let him go.
God damn it! Sorry about that. I was watching the. I was looking at the update there of the size. He's 5'9", 170. He was speaking to Anthony Rogers, who's also about that same size. Mm-hmm. George is definitely looking to add a guy like that. To your point, kind of that all-purpose back who can throw to. And again, the first time I saw Trevor Etienne, I'm like, man, he's little. It worked out for DeAndre Swift.
Yeah.
What do I know? The next question is from rhall55, says, how many offensive linemen in this class? Five. Basically, how many offensive linemen do you think Georgia is going to land? He mentioned Short, Sanders, Gaston, Smith, and Glover. You think Georgia could get five? Are they taking five? Are they taking six? Taking four? Or is it just however many they can land?
I think it depends on the portal. How many guys go in the portal? How many guys? I think you have a plan for five every year and adjust as the year goes on. So I think you have some guys go in the portal, or maybe somebody's not as developing like you like. Then you can adjust your numbers as you go. But I think the start number is always right around the five mark.
Yeah, I think so. And you look at the breakdown. Mason Short is a guy could play tackle. Could be interior. Dontrell Glover would be an interior guy. Cortez Smith would be a center. Mm-hmm. And then at tackle, you've got, you know, Juan Gaston, David Sanders. You throw Josh Petty in there, Zaire Addison in there. You know, there's several options. And again, Mason Short could potentially play tackle as well. So, yeah, I think, like you said, Trent, I think five is kind of where you start. And then as it develops, you know, the portal opens tomorrow, as exciting as that is. So how many guys go in? Do you add an experienced guy somewhere along the line? You kind of adjust, you know, you want to take one more, take one less, you know, how it shakes out from there.
I hope they look at the kid named Chauncey Goodens.
Mm-hmm.
That kid kicked everybody's ass yesterday. 6'4", 320, I think, was an absolute beast.
Good Lord.
He's nasty. Nasty. Funny, but nasty. Okay, Middle Tennessee Dog, he's actually involved in NIL, his company is. So he's a good person to know on UGA Sports, because he can tell you kind of how it works from the inside out. He says, I know Recruiting versus Facts is a recruiting show, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Right now, today, if Kirby Smart was asked to name who was entering the portal, and if by a miracle from God he answered, how many would he get right percentage-wise? Asking another way, does he pretty much know at this point who is leaving?
That's a really good question.
That's a great question. And normally we wouldn't even add it to Rumors versus Facts, but I think it is a great point.
I mean, I think at this point they probably know, because you can't have these meetings throughout the spring. And even today, like, I'm sure there was a lot of that going on today and yesterday, you know, the 2 days since the game. There will be the guys who might surprise you, one or two. But, yeah, I think at this point he's got a pretty – I mean, if we're talking about percentages, he would get at least 90%, right, I would think. I think he's got a pretty good idea of how it's shaking out at this point.
I think the ones that you look at that he might not get right are the preferred, like the walk-ons, those type guys that are hitting the portal. I think majority of these scholarship guys, you got a good idea what's happening. They're either in your office a couple of days before letting you know what's happening behind the scenes, or, you know, if something's, I'm not going to say anybody's doing any tampering. So,
but they are tampered.
Yes. But they are tampered. So they're in the office saying, oh, well, I can get this deal from this school, and then, you know, or I can give you an apartment, and, you know, so what can you do for me? So I think they have a good idea.
Negotiations, you're saying.
Yeah, I think they have a good idea a couple of days before, or maybe even weeks before, of who might go. And then I think it, you know, the final decision is made before that kid announces that, yeah, this is what I'm doing. And then after, of course, Kirby stays recruiting with certain guys like Julian Humphrey, and has people in their house that night. He enters the portal and talks them out of going to the portal. So
it's always. I'd say 50% he knew before spring started.
Probably, yeah.
And the other, like you say, 45, 50% is guys that he would know based on the fact that when I asked him point blank the other day, I said, how much tampering is going on? He's like, well, I don't know. I can't monitor their phones. I'm not the feds, you know. And he said, but when they come in, they have a plan.
Mm-hmm. I think when you brought ETN, you knew a running back was going. What running back that was, there was really only one or two that it was obvious that it could be. And we heard Andrew Paul a good amount. So,
So none of that shocks me. I think he'd get about, like you said, about 90% right. There's a few surprises out there.
Braxton Hicks was a surprise.
Who? Braxton Hicks.
Braxton Hicks.
All-time
maybe. Braxton Hicks are definitely a surprise sometimes.
Oh, God. I will fire your ass. KSDJ 1869 says, it feels like we've moved on from Zion Grady at this point. Would you say that's the case? And if so, what was the determining factor or factors?
Yeah, I wouldn't say George has moved on from Zion Grady. I just think there are guys maybe higher on the board. I mean, Darren – Ikenagben was way up there. I think
like really wanted him. Yeah.
You mentioned him earlier. Trent Isaiah Gibson is a guy that's not being given up on at all. There's Bryce Davis from North Carolina. They really, really like. Yeah. So no, he's still a guy that Georgia is recruiting. He visited for G-Day. So I just think there as the board kind of develops, especially now that you've got a guy on board there at that position, I just think there might be a few guys higher on the priority list than Zion Grady.
Well, that's fair. That's very fair. It's not the if you were the number one guy, we could have said the same thing about Ryan Montgomery. You know, they moved on because they were going hard after Matt Zoller. But that would be unfair because you don't know who you're going to get. Speaking of, we got a good question here from New York Dog 34 or NY Dog 34. It says, if Ryan Montgomery is the guy for 25 recruiting class, how does he compare as a prospect to Ryan Puglisi in the 2024 class, given that Puglisi was number 198 in his class and Montgomery is 162nd?
Well, my rankings were not kind to Puglisi for a while because when he committed, he definitely wasn't in the top 250. He might have been a three-star. I don't remember. I rank so many kids that it kind of blends together. But he rose kind of later in the process. So I think – and I'm really bad with on-field comparisons, so which makes sense why I'm bad at ranking kids. But I think when you look at how they were recruited – they are both guys that the staff identified and were like, yeah, we might not be looking at the top of the board and top of the rankings and going straight down, but this is a guy we really, really, really like. I mean, Georgia was higher on Puglisi than, you know, the Julian Sands of the world, the, Jaden Davis, who went to Michigan, I think. They wanted Puglisi really bad. And Montgomery, like you said, Trent, he's had a relationship with Munkin and now Bo. I mean, for 2 years, I think 2-3 years. Like he has been around forever, it feels like. So in terms of just being recruited, there are both guys who the staff identified and the staff has gone after and cultivated relationships with. And it paid off with Puglisi, and it might pay off with Montgomery here coming up on Wednesday.
And you look at Montgomery and you look at his top schools, Georgia was the first offer among them. Even when you date back to this top 10, I think Ohio State might have, you know, been early on, but Georgia was right there as one of his first offers, and that's when the relationship started building. So when you see these guys get in on these guys that quick and that fast, and I know Bogusi was a little bit later, I guess, in the process because he was a spring before his senior season. But I think, you know, both of these guys are very accurate with the football. Both these guys can throw from different arm angles. They have a lot of zip behind the ball. I don't know who particularly I would compare each one to. Because I thought Ryan Montgomery was one of the more accurate high school quarterbacks I've seen in a while when I went out and watched him at IMG, and that was against some top rated guys. So, you know, comparisons, I don't know, but both of them are very good, and I really think Puglisi is going to be something special in Athens. That's my opinion. We'll see about Ryan Montgomery.
Well, here's the thing with, you know, talking about being 198 to 162nd, that depends. Are there a crap ton of good offensive linemen? Is this a stellar year for cornerbacks and safeties? You know, is this the year of the defensive end? Because remember, it's not like, if you're in the top 200, there's not a whole hell of a lot of difference in players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not night and day. You could be ranked 198. You go, oh my God, 198. It's out of 3 million. It's the top 200 out of 3 million high school football players. Now, is Trevor Lawrence? Yeah.
Where someone mentioned today, Georgia will take a lower ranked kid, whatever. Like, you're still getting a top 15 quarterback in the country to come play for your football program. So, it's a good get if it turns out to go Georgia's way here.
Yeah, and the difference between 15 and 9 and 4, you'll be hard pressed to point it out.
And he hadn't got Georgia's
luck. You watch all of them throw. Very seldom is there just a head and shoulders guy at one position who's just better than everybody else. Hell, we had Keith Marshall ranked higher than Todd Gurley.
And Montgomery's going to get the JBB, the Jed Bulldog bump. Here pretty soon.
Yeah, I need to get that trademarked. Actually, while I'm thinking about it, if we could get like hats and stuff and just hand them out to these kids when they film their videos, then we'd really be in business, I think.
Arrow pointing up because this is where I'm headed.
Mm-hmm.
Spacebook 3 says, what's the board look like at running back? I saw Bo Walker took a visit to Alabama. Is Chroma more likely?
I mean, definitely Chroma has – Georgia's made a move with Chroma with the hire of Josh Crawford. Loves Josh Crawford. You know, Georgia has definitely kind of moved up there. Was a little surprised to see Bo Walker go to Alabama because we had him on our list. I want to say every other 25 commit was there. I'm not positive on that, but maybe Stephon Shivers wasn't. But, I still think Bo Walker's guy that loves Georgia. Cedar Grove's got a lot of connections to Georgia. I don't necessarily think he's on, like, Flip Watch or anything. But when you look at the board, you know, there's Chroma, there's Jamarian Morrow, Lance, who you mentioned. There's Anthony Rogers, Georgia's working to flip. You know, a guy I still think people need to remember is Donovan Johnson from Savannah, who plays at IMG. And he's kind of just been forgotten about a little bit because he missed all last year at IMG with the torn ACL. And he's a really good player. I mean, again, he's 230 in the country, I think. So he's a really good player, loves Georgia. And he's a guy I think that, you know, if the staff goes and sees him this spring, if he gets on campus and camps this summer and shows he's the same guy he was before that injury, then, you know, then he could shoot up the board as well.
Well, then you've got guys kind of like, did you mention Bo Jackson, Aiklin Deer, you know, you know, at some of those camps, Jordan Davison, you know, still uncommitted. At a Mater Dei. I don't think that's
Mater D, what
option right now, but I mean, you've got some other guys on this list that, you know, kind of across the Southeast and across the country that Georgia's still looking at. And when you talk to some of these kids, when I talked to Bo, after the state championship game, he seemed like, he had a little bit of a, he didn't want to share a name with me, but he did say an in-state kid that he would like to be his, running teammate. And I'm assuming that's who's Man Chroma, but who knows? That was 5-6 months ago.
through the questions here, but see if there's any that we've missed. This is kind of unrelated, but it's like, why is Andrew Paul hitting the portal? Wasn't he hurt 2 years ago? Yes, he was. And I think that
this question come up, and I thought they were talking about Paul Meharry.
Yeah, he hit the portal.
Paul's going to the portal?
Paul's about to have a kid. He can't leave.
Paul's about to have a second kid in under 365 days.
It'll be a little over, won't it?
Well, the due date is, but how often do you go to your due date?
Yeah.
It's like 5 days after the...
It's scheduled though, so I think it's gonna. I think they're gonna technically be a year and like 4 days apart. Paul, give that woman a break, you bastard!
Damn roofers.
But why is he in the portal? I think you nailed it. Bringing in Trevor Etienne, and it is a just loaded room, and there will be a lot. It'll be a lot easier to play somewhere else. Not a shot at him.
Wide receiver room looks pretty loaded too.
Yeah, would not surprise. Well, we saw one preferred walk on take a leave. Would not surprise me if there were others as well. A good question here. There's no transferring within the conference, right? Are Texas only considered SEC right now or no? You can transfer within the conference, but you just have to sit out a year.
I saw that yes, they are considered SEC right now as far as that goes.
I think they entered the SEC as soon as that was over, as soon as that last year was over.
Mm-hmm.
Football Grill says go dogs. I would say football girl, but it says grill. So.
How do you pronounce that, Lance? Is that growl?
Growl.
It's like grill.
Can't trust you.
Anyway. Silent.
All right, folks. We went a little long again this week. Every week, I think we knock this show out in 20 minutes, and we get it's like an hour six, hour 10. So, we will post the audio on YouTube, Spotify, all those fun stuff, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, wherever you like to listen to podcasts. We'll have it up there. And be sure to tune in tomorrow where we'll have Coach Donnan on at noon to talk about the G-Day game, get his thoughts on it. So be sure to hit the subscribe button on this channel, and we'll see you next week.